Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas this morning. We could stand up and turn around, look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy to see you this morning. Hope we all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I know I did, and I know that when it's Thanksgiving and I show up, I'm expecting to eat. I'm coming in here and I'm going to walk in your house and I'm going to eat. And if I came in late and you put your food up, I'm going to go and find some food and I'm going to eat because I came expecting to eat, right? When we come to church, we expect to be fed. When we come into church, we come expecting things to happen. We come expecting great things to happen. If we come in a little bit shy, we come in a little bit hurting, we come in a little bit things aren't great, we're going to come and find something. We're going to come and find to be fed. We're going to come find what God has for us because we need to come expecting, amen? So we're going to give glory to God right now. We're going to worship Him, move into His presence, and receive what God has for us. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for what You have in store for us today. And I don't want us to leave anything on the table, God. But I want us to take everything that You have for us. We glorify Your name. We exalt You above every name. I pray that You have Your way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing it out. There is none like our God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you look at somebody and give them a big old smile? We have a couple announcements and we'll go back into worship. Our monthly mission pledge is due today. Our church Christmas party is December 12th, and the ladies' get-together is going to be December 9th. You don't want to miss that. We had like 50 ladies there together, and it was a good time. So we're appreciative of this fellowship and Sister Candy's vision for that. Are you thankful for His Word and the blood that changed your life forever? You don't have to live the same way because of the blood that He shed on that cross. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I place my hope in Calvary, where love spilled from a rugged tree. Oh,
praise to the Lord right now. We have a few prayer requests we're going to take before the Lord here today. Brother Jeff, Brother Randy, and the men in white, they're here this morning, but their ministry, they do however many Sundays they go, they dedicate their time and effort to men in our prison systems, and it is wonderful, so keep them in our prayers. Barbara Palmer, Sister Jessie Bolton, she needs a touch from the Lord. Kathy Munson, Wanda Eaton, Mandy Giberson, Belinda Little's mother, Donnie Dickerson, Rick, Wyatt Kelso, Carson Rayleigh, the Tanner Malone family, Jimbo Thompson, Carol Hosh, Sister Lois Weems, Paul Schoenberger, Charles Fleming, Sister Billy Bolton, Brittany Wise, Brother Sister Arlton Bristow, Kenny and Georgia McCool, Brother Sister Bob Bolton, Brother Sister John Proctor, Billy and Jeremy Trinato, Brother Sister Dickey. Last night, this past Thanksgiving was a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had two prayer meetings with our family where we travailed, and there was literally a change in the atmosphere where you could feel change falling off of people. And it was phenomenal. And then last night, I'm going to bed, and I get these knots in my stomach, and I have this, I'm almost having a nervous breakdown, and I hate it. I'm just like, it took me probably 45 to 50 minutes to go to bed, and that's not normal for me, especially being tired like I was. In these knots, it just felt like my stomach kept continuing to twist and getting these bigger knots. And I'm just freaking out. I'm sweating. It's terrifying. I'm like, Jesus, what's going on? Not really much of an answer. What I just presented to you was kind of what I got from God. So I suffered. I continued to go through it. I finally fall asleep. I wake up. Guess what I wake up to? Those knots are just grinding in my stomach still. And before I get up here and while I'm practicing, I'm almost sweating up here because of how nervous I am. And then it came to me as I was singing our song and as I was in the prayer room. That's not you, buddy. That's the devil. You see, because he's getting a little nervous because he's really starting to see some people break through. So what you're feeling is actually sort of an embodiment of what the devil's going on in his mind right now. You see, he's getting pretty nervous about our church. He's getting pretty nervous about Paris, Texas. He's getting pretty nervous about all these families coming in on Thanksgiving, and then they're getting the Holy Ghost too. I don't think you get what I'm saying. Chains are falling, church. Strongholds that people have had for years are crumbling like they're sandcastles at the beach. I don't know how to present it any better, but I am feeling a little bit looser. I will say I'm feeling a little bit better, and every time I just say that name, Jesus, woo! My spirit starts to feel a little bit lighter too. So we're going to take these needs before the Lord here today. And we're going to kind of rub it in the devil's face that we're getting victory right now. And although we might not see it on our timeline, wait on the Lord, church. Wait on the Lord. That seed you planted in your coworker is developing. That loss you experienced not too long ago is coming. That grief is passing. The peace is coming. The strength that you need to feel that you get one more day, it's going to happen, church. So if you have any need here today, I pray that you would step out in faith. And the Lord will reward that faith. And we're going to take every need up here before the Lord. Jesus, I come to you with faith, Lord. That's about all I have sometimes, Jesus. But I know in your word it says that's enough. Lord, oh Lord, I pray strength. I pray peace. I pray a calming serenity of your spirit would enter in this place today, Lord. I pray victory over demons, God. They have no power. I pray every light would shine on every shadow, and no shadow can trump light. Oh, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this church and every other church in all of Paris, in all of Lamar County, in all of Texas, in all of the United States. In Jesus' name, I plead your blood. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me.
He goes before me.
My cup's overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory,
your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory,
your spirit.
Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me.
call on your name, Jesus. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Oh, yeah.
Praise the name of the Lord this morning. As the ushers come, we're going to take our tithes and offering, and then we're going to move back into worship. There is breakthrough in this place this morning.
Yes.
There is healing in this place this morning. Yes. You read of great things and great teachings from Paul, and you read great things through the church through him, but one of the things that I've realized in studying him is he was not afraid to tarry. He was not afraid to have a plan, like, I want to go here, but if God wants me to stay in this place, I will tarry here, I will stay here. And I won't move until God wants me to move. And sometimes we get caught up in the formula of the service and we get ready to go, but God wants us to stay in His Spirit. And so today, as we take up the tithes and the offering, as the music starts, I want you to tarry in His Spirit. I want you to listen to what God has in store for you, because there's a breaking in this place. You don't have to leave here the same way you came in. You don't have to leave in here hurting. You can walk out of here in victory, amen? In Jesus' name. God, I pray that you move in this service. I pray that you continue to tug on our hearts, God. I pray that you continue to pull us closer to you. I pray that you bless what is given today. I pray that you bless the giver, that you anoint the preaching in the congregation, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would be whole without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Stay to the darkness if it wasn't for the cross.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you have won me with your kindness. You chase me down the way. I was lost.
Oh, yes.
Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross?
Hallelujah.
Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm
seated. So great to see all of you here today, and what a genuine thrill it is to have a Turkish person among us. My sister Vandalay, one of four sisters that I have, is in the house. She has always been such a kind-hearted, caring person. Even when she was ornery, she had a side to her that was beautiful. I'd like for you to stand and greet this crowd today. You can share a little Turkish with them, and you can share a little heartbeat.
Tamam o zaman Türkçe konuşalım. Türkçe konuşan var mı burada? Türkiye giden var mı? Anybody been to Turkey? Well, soon we'll be, you ate a lot of it. Yeah, that's true. We know at least a couple of times a year people pray for Turkey, and that's a real good thing. Anyway, I am overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving. You know, the Word of God says there's no greater joy than to know that your children walk in truth. Now, I don't have children today here, but I have family, and I know I'm so excited to see what God is doing in their lives, using them, and all of you. It just feels so wonderful in this place today. I'm overwhelmed with thanksgiving for what God is. First of all, without Him, we can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things. We can overcome. And I feel an overcoming spirit here today. I do want to say, one time in Turkey, now we started there, and one Thursday, I have English Club, do English Club. It's an outreach. And we have prayer meeting, ladies, things. And so there were about four or five people. And we were in a basement room. That was our, we don't have church buildings. We had a little basement room we were meeting in. But, you know, God is not limited with anything. We feel very limited sometimes. But that night, we four or five, maybe five, we were singing the song. I think we were singing, How Great Is Our God. Just lifting the name of Jesus. Now, I did not have my eyes closed. But I saw in the spirit, it doesn't happen to me very often, but I saw in the spirit underneath that basement room a bunch, like thousands and thousands of little red demons running for their life. And that was four or five of us. And I was just picturing today, no telling in Paris, Texas, what's happening today. Because when we lift the name of Jesus, we don't have to be the ones running. He's the one running. So that was inspiring. Sterling, your testimony, you know, the devil is afraid. He's afraid. I'm so thankful for my brother and his wife and to be with family. I'm not normally here. I'm in Turkey, having turkey on Turkey Day. And we're going back soon. We're scheduled to go back December the 15th. We've been traveling for 5 months, preparation, getting more sponsors, prayer sponsors, and financial sponsors. And thank you. You are a big help in that way every month, and your prayers and your support. For the next term of 4 years, we're not spring chickens. We're not turkeys. We are turkeys. Anyway, I'm overwhelmed, and thank God. He said, with thanksgiving, bring our request with supplication and prayer. Make it known to Him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that huge? Our mind is little, but it's powerful. And our heart needs to be pure before Him. And He is ready to answer our prayers today. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Praise God. And the rest of this seat, is part of my sister, Galen, is part of her family. We're so glad to have you all here. Where is that? Come on. Stand. Have your husband stand and your boy. That's all. They are wonderful people, and they help support the work of God. Sorry that I forgot I overlooked you back there. But what a thrill it is to join, and as has been said, the Spirit of the Lord came down in the family center and will be an unforgettable memory in the life of each one of us. I thrill at the opportunity to help anybody get through this world with all that's going on. It is not about what church you belong to or go to. And yet it is. Because if Walmart or other stores of general consistency advertised that they had particular commodities that would fit your need, and you got there and the shelves were empty, it would be a disappointing experience. And yet, I am watching people find substitute items that cannot take care of their body, schools that cannot teach how to keep a marriage and a success story growing. And unfortunately, I have found that churches are willing to grow midgets and call it great life. I'm not willing to do that. You were born for a reason. You had a distinct purpose by the one who gave you your first breath. Education frees you from feeling like you're not cared for. But if you're not properly educated, you can feel like a big zero. Education, he said, my people are gone into captivity because of a lack of knowledge. Not about knowing just how to make money. It's not knowing just how to attract the opposite sex. It's not about so much of the things that we give our total thought pattern to. You have life and you have the phenomenal opportunity to educate your spiritual nature, where hurt feelings happen, where disappointments occur, and where shortage of energy occurs. You have unique abilities to graduate mentally to elevations that can cause you to fly a jet airplane, to actually create a computer. Those are phenomenons. I am working from a Pentecostal platform because we teach that we have the commodities that are needed to make life work in its highest and most complete form. The fact that we have come short is a thing that we are trying to improve on, beginning with the pastor. I refuse to be uneducated on how to educate my children and my friends and my family in our city. The people in this city mean a lot to my God. And if they mean a lot to my God, they mean a lot to me. It is impossible to call him God and not associate with his business. So today, we are looking at some things that hopefully will help us. Actually, I'm going to define a little bit of our entire month this year. This year, December. That's the name I've named this message. But the whole of December, we will be talking about some of the things that I just mentioned. Truth. Each day, another day, is eating up your time to do what you want to get done, because you are going to stay somewhere forever. If that graveyard were the end, there would be no church. There would be no need for a church. Not one. Everyone recognizes that the graveyard is not the end. That is an interlude, transitioning like you transitioned from an embryo into a human, and then you transition through death into the finale of the spirit that you're living in. That's huge stop. I mean, there is nothing that rivals your spiritual nature. You can create any kind of atmosphere you want to, except perfect peace, perfect joy, and perfect holiness. With God, life is timeless. He was, He is, and He always will be. You were nothing but a thought before you became a light. But you were the thought of God. Life is pre-planned by the Lord, but not pre-planned for your destiny. He does desire each one of you to walk in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So who doesn't want gas for a car that'll take you to New York City's big lights? You can have the perfect car. You can have the most beautiful car. You can have the luxurious car. But as long as it's sitting in the driveway and has no fuel, you're not going anywhere. You can be meaningful to people pass by and they see you sitting in the car. They see the car in your driveway and say, wow. How many times have you said that about others? Their house, their car. But if a house has no righteousness, peace, and joy, I can tell you there will be a divorce at some point. I'm watching it happen every week in a small community called Paris in Lamar County. People are being put in prison because they don't know how to behave. It is a sad day for people that don't walk in the light. So, as humans, we are given the greatest opportunity of life. Humans have a heart, a soul, mind, and strength. The kingdom of God, of course, is beyond the present order of life. We celebrate life in December with gifts. And oh, how we love that, huh? Get a little special hug. A little special cash. I always liked it when Grandma showed up at Christmas. She always gave cash. Dad, he always gave tools. Something to work with. Not always, but plenty of that. So we're moving today into the month of December, and we're going to work through December with some of the material that is being iterated here today. We relive in December God's purpose for mankind. December is a phenomenal month because we start focusing on Christmas. Isn't it funny? Some people start before Thanksgiving. But in the process of this, the second Adam appears. Now let me remind you, the first Adam and Eve lost their position in a perfect paradise. They lost that position. God doesn't hide anything. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. God has hidden nothing. In His first church sanctuary called Eden, everything was perfect. And we think that if we had everything perfect, we wouldn't need God. God's what made it perfect. His presence created a consistency of righteousness, peace, and joy. But God didn't want to force Adam and Eve to go and live in a perfect paradise. So He said, I'm responsible for this whole show, and I create good and I create evil. Well, you know, we don't like that. But He confesses it And he shows rational reason in his book for that. But let me just tell you, he has a plan. He calls it the bride of Christ. Not an inferior counterpart. If you notice, Adam and Eve had all the power they needed. Every animal, every kingdom obeyed Adam and Eve just like they did the master that created them. They had it all. And so don't get to thinking that because if you had all the money you wanted and all the yachts you wanted and you owned an airfield and you had all the airplanes and you could do everything in the boating world, in the scuba diving world, in the aeronautical world, if you could do all of the above, that you would be happy? No, 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 no. It's within you to be happy without any of that. And it's nice to have some of that, but that's not what creates happiness. It is the one who made you and gave you your breath. It's the one who gave you a brain. It's the one who gave you a soul. And when you get your coordination together, you can be at peace in the jail cell. And all you got to do is read the Pauline epistles. And he tells and reveals that. It is revealed in the Word of God. Everything you will ever go through, be tempted to do, or experience somebody else that did do the temptation. It's all there. So he said, my people are in captivity because of a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of desire. It's not enough desire in the right direction, though. It's not a lack of an appetite for wanting to be complete. It's just following the path that makes you complete. I thought once I got married, man, everything was over. I didn't have a clue. I thought once we had a little more money, everything was over. There are so many creations that money keeps being a little short. I would like to own a Learjet. I would like to have a couple of palaces, one of them in France or England, and one of them overseas in another place. My sister keeps wanting me to go to Turkey. I'm just trying to be realistic with us. It is time to get over this ideal that we can dream a dream and without putting it into practice, have the dream. There is no way to achieve victory without winning the game. And there is no way to achieve a sense of human well-being without consenting to follow the light, the glory, and the power of the Word and the Spirit and being reborn. And that rebirth is what we're dealing with in the month of December. The second Adam appears. We needed redeeming. God needed to prove. It's not all about us. It's about him. December is the month that we relive. God is a spirit. And that spirit can speak anything into existence. The Bible tells us declaratively, God is a spirit. Humans want to humanize him. And because the word Father is introduced, they think it means he was another human. No, no, no. God is a spirit. All you got to do is take one more breath and understand he's an invisible God. But without him, you couldn't take another breath. You have no battery operation. You're not hooked into a receptacle somewhere to keep your heart working. It is an amazing fact that we as religious people in America have conceded to let the people of humanity with the wisdom of defamation continue to deteriorate marriages, relationships, positive power, positive glory, and a trust system that we should be able to be elevated to right now. Trust in people. It's almost a quizzical thought. Who do you trust? You have been sold so many false futures. Buy this and you'll be happy forever. How many times do we have to follow little TV commercials that show a guy? And he looks happy because he took a pill. You want to know why people are on drugs? Because they tried it and it didn't work. I confess to you that I tried Jesus and it works. I will not lie to you. You're still going to have hell breaking loose on the right, the left, and the front and behind you. That's not a lie. That's happening. He said trouble is with you always. It's on your right, it's in front of you, it's behind you, and it's on the left. That's why you're hid with Christ and God. That's why you get born again. That's why you take the name of Jesus, and it's a sword that destroys doubtful fears, inhibitions, and weaknesses, and tolerates the glorious power of triumph and glory. And in the middle of all the hell that's breaking loose, you can have heaven on earth. And as long as it's in your heart, you'll survive. And the grave won't be a meaningful thing of disappointment, because you understand it's a doorway to what you've been looking for. Joy forever, peace forever, glory forever, and a creative brain and a creative ability to create planets. That's the power that Adam and Eve had with the Messiah in the garden. They ruled and reigned. Becoming a new creation in Christ is a whole lot more than just talking in tongues. A baby's born, it talks in a language that nobody understands except mama. And the baby's not speaking English, it's not speaking Spanish, it's not speaking French, it's not speaking Italian. But mama understands the voice of the Spirit. The baby's crying. It's wet. Needs its diaper changed. The dad says it's crying. The mama says it's hungry. And then we make fun of talking in tongues. We make light of talking in tongues. And we make it a routine to talk in tongues, but not let the Spirit of it transform us into the higher level of more of the Word, more of the relationship with the Word, and more of the positive foundation of the Word. And the Word of the Lord standeth sure and is a foundation that no man can disappear. This is huge stuff. It's not about going to church to go to church to put the time clock in and punch in and say, I went to church Sunday. It's about feasting on the manna that comes at the church house and inspiring yourself by the revelation that God knows exactly where you are, and He knows exactly the next step you need to take. And you, by faith and power, begin to take the next step. And the first thing you know, your marriage is growing. And the first thing you know, your job's security is growing. And the first thing you know, your city is growing. And the next thing you know, your county's getting better. And all of a sudden, the government's going to get better. And without the church, there's no light. And without the church, there's no power. And we disintegrate because men, wicked men, men that lie, men that cheat, men that fornicate, men that commit all kind of heinous sins are running our country. It is our rich responsibility and ability to rise up in this hour and create a river of life, and to recreate a knowledge and a peace and a power that will absolutely sophisticate any mind, any home, any future that you may have on your agenda. I'm here to tell you the Lord is great and is greatly to be praised. And the month of December is the celebration. He came to earth. Oh, would somebody stand and give Him praise? He deserves our wholehearted praise. the second Adam. That's what he called himself. God produced the first Adam from the dust of the ground. From that came humans. And so God chose to take a virgin and put the spiritual seed of life within the womb of a virgin. And that lady birthed a body that was produced by the spirit world. It's about unto us a child is born. Unto us a kingdom is being put together. Unto us the wisdom, the knowledge, the glory of breathing, of living, of overcoming, of having power to manipulate the powers of hell that is what's causing your confusion. Confusion occurs when two things come together. And light and dark cannot coexist. Just no way. So our world is just like, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's huge. Because he defines it further. Those that walk in truth come to the light. You understand. Is there anybody in here who played football? Oh, yeah. Yes. You got right here close. You must have known I was going to need you. Exhibit just a little bit. This guy's phenomenal. I want you to exhibit just a little bit. He's going to exhibit to you what it takes to be a winning member. I'll do it with you. We had to do it in the army. Feel stupid, don't you? He said, I feel great. You know why he feels great? He won a few games. You know how great he did? Run out for a pass. It's going to be an imaginary. You're going to have to get off the platform because I throw him a long way. And when he crosses that touchdown, he turns. Yes! That's what we do at the house of God on Sunday. Yes! I caught the word. I caught the spirit of it. I caught the glory of it. I caught the victory of it. And I crossed across every line, everything that the devil tried to put in my way. I found the way. I found the way. I found the way. So the Bible, it doesn't hide one bit of this. It wasn't your nose touching the ground. They go through a few little calisthenics. You're not going to tension your whole body for that. If you want to get the tension exactly right for a marriage, for a child-parent relationship, for a city that needs help, you got to exercise your whole self unto godliness. And when you begin to exercise yourself unto spiritual powers, ladies and gentlemen, nothing shall be impossible to that people. There will come lights on in every home, in every heart. I am praying that in every city, in every church, in every pastor, we'll turn the lights hearts wide open and say, look, we've got the unique privilege of hooking up to more wattage and to understanding and to wisdoms that will lead us to leap over a troop and jump over a wall. Not about being a long-time member of a local assembly. That's a bunch of hogwash. I've seen people dry rot in a church. I'm here to preach invigoration to the point of stimulation and stimulation to activation and activation to winning moments, winning powers, winning glories, triumphant powers. I'm here to tell you he didn't come in December to show us the cold weather and to show us a Christmas tree. He came to show us a cross and a victory out of a grave and say, look, I am he that was dead, but I am alive evermore. I am the Lord. I am the God. I am the Creator. I am the ability. We are not here to function under crowds. If crowds could make it happen, then we would have a world full of it. Because crowds don't go to church. But every one of them, if you listen to them, are looking for something better. What would you do if you were Satan and you misbehaved and you wanted everybody to live in the misery you lived in? He is a liar and the father of every one of them. Any time that you hear anything against any part of the Word of God, the liar has got your attention. And you hate it when your husband or your wife lie to you. And you threaten divorce because they lie to you. And you hate it when your mother lies to you. And you hate it when your children lie to you. And you seek punitive action because you were lied to. And we let the devil just keep lying. Amen. I said, we as a country are letting lies just loose by the day. And we can't hardly wait to get the newspaper to read more lies so we can tell people he's lying again. Hello? What's wrong with us getting the real book out and said, let me tell you about one that don't lie. Let me tell you about one that never fails. Could I tell you about something that will always succeed? Could I tell you how my marriage is a success? I get up every morning and I praise the one who gives me my breath. I dance and praise him because he gives me my joy. I praise and dance to him because he gives me peace that passes understanding. He is the great God. There's none like him. There's none beside him. There's none gonna be behind him or beside him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We already covered that. Good. He would leave nothing to our imagination or limitations. There's nothing missing out of that book right there that will feed the most weak element of your spiritual nature. Listen to him. Though your sins be as scarlet. Watch this. Scarlet is something that is easily seen from a distance. It's an attractive color. Though your sins stand out to you and all those that know you, if you'll come to me, I will transform the negative into a positive. That's how I got here. My sins were glaring, and they kept me down because I knew that people knew I had not been great and I had not done best. And I felt like if I change now, what will they think? And I found out what they think. He must have a God somewhere. And I'm not even perfect yet. I'm still hanging on to something up yonder. Because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I'm sorry for those of you that are just now starting to go to churches. I'm sorry for those of you that got wrecked in the middle of church services. I am sorry about that, but that doesn't negate what's in the book. That men and women have disregarded the need of taking care of their car, their house, their marriage, and all the other stuff doesn't mean you can't have a good one. Get your hopes back up. Let this preacher preach faith back into your life. I'm here to tell you the truth can give you one of the greatest marriages in the world. I'm telling you that the peace of God that comes at Christmas time will unite you when everything else would try to distract and distort you. I'm here to tell you your mind is worth saving. I'm telling you that your heart is worth saving. I'm telling you that your future is worth saving. Get you a preacher, a doctor that can manipulate the word of God into the fibers of your life and create in you a clean spirit. And all of a sudden, that glory that shines every morning in a sun and that glory that shines in the stars every night. Oh, I really get tickled at people. Oh, you Pentecostals, you just loud. Then they go to a football game and they scream louder than anybody. That's my man. That's my cheer. What? And you imagine yourself being that? And you get a kick out of that? And then the enemy causes you to imagine what you imagined when you first saw a Pentecostal. And a drunk staggers down the street, and you want to drink his wine? You're going to wake up the next morning, and you're not going to be free. But you get baptized in the name of Jesus truly by faith. I'm not talking about to be Pentecostal. I'm talking about by faith in the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the glory of the Word of God. I'm talking about you get baptized into Jesus Christ. You become a new creation, and you fill with His Spirit. That's a new lifestyle, and it's a new glory. And I'm here to tell you that somebody's going to make fun of the greatest quarterback, and somebody's going to make fun of the greatest halfback, and somebody's going to make fun of the greatest basketball player, and somebody's going to make fun of the greatest teachers. Somebody's going to make fun of the ones that try to doctor us. Somebody's going to make fun of anything. I'm here to tell you it's time to quit making fun and make a future. I'm here to tell you it's time to quit categorizing everybody else and find out where you are on your GPS and where you really want to go. Where are you going with your life? That's what you've got to discover. When I've gone through all the and when I have finished running the race, where am I going to end? You are going to end. How many of you have had a mother or dad already pass away? Raise your hand. Look here. Don't tell me there's not an end to this part. But there's not an end to the part of you that's going to live forever, and that's your spirit. That's the real life in you. That's the one that's either miserable or still looking, or has found the pool of healing and the place of real invigoration. He alone can save. So knowing this, he reveals the many temptations of the righteous, and he would create immunization against all. I can tell you there once you get born again, that is by faith, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit of Christ. That's what the new birth consists of. The fact that there have been people bought all kind of cool sports cars and messed them up doesn't mean they're not cool sports cars. There are people that have bought backhoes that could dig holes that could totally furnish a nice mansion with plumbing and over here septic. But that doesn't mean the owner of the backhoe is great because he makes a lot of money doing it. His home may be falling apart. We have seen enough to know enough. There's got to be somewhere to stop the misery. I'm not willing for you to have to live in misery. And I will preach a straight and firm gospel because of that. Now, you say, well, you know, Pastor, there's people sitting around me that know me. And you know, I didn't come to church to feel bad. I came to feel good. Well, sometimes you have to know you got cancer before you can feel good. Sometimes you have to understand your blood pressure is not working on an optimum level before you can generate right thoughts. It's when you're working dizzy. You can't keep your balance. You need help. And so we think nothing. Is there a doctor in the house? You know, the first thing they do is they weigh you. Take your height. My dad was 6'2", and everybody would come around and say, why aren't you as big as your dad? I said, he just couldn't produce good. The audacity for somebody to weigh you at church. See, people that go to church, they find out that scripture, judge not. But they never seem to find the scriptures that can't you judge one another? It's amazing. Not everybody really wants the light on. They just want to see a light and live like they want to live and enter into the riches and think they can have peace and passes understanding and joy unspeakable. I've already seen too many homes bust apart that had everything you're looking for. We will celebrate his life this month. Almost got really excited in there and doing that one. We celebrate his life by studying him. Somebody say studying him. If you're studying some offbeat person that's living in sin, it won't be long you'll be like them. We study him and his temptations, his revelations, and his obedience. Did I tell you that God made that body a little lower than the angel? Do you really understand that God made that second Adam to be sin who knew no sin? That scripture is a fuzzy scripture in many religious organizations. But when you understand that this body of sin has such a native nature to lie, cheat, steal, hate, and do all kind of things weird, then you understand the term born again. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't because he was not a God that was kind and sweet and nice, but he said he found fault with the law because the people didn't have enough spirit to keep the law. And because they didn't have enough spirit to keep the law, they kept finding themselves in terrible shape. In Jeremiah's prophetic vision, we hear the voice of the present echoing, God, from an invisible position, has somebody write it on paper?
I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord of hosts.
Thundering into a world of dark was a rapid, powerful flash of lightning. It don't take us near that long to emphasize it. I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord of hosts. They are thoughts of peace, not evil, for a good hope of a final outcome. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in his will. Rush to this altar. Let God transform your mind. We don't think anything about TV transforming our mind. We don't think anything about people that are celebrities transforming our mind. And we have wound up with a bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt world that doesn't know its way out of the pandemics and doesn't know its way out of all the hell that's going on in every city and every home almost. And I'm here to tell you, the peace that passes understanding is right here in this book. I'm telling you that in the middle of a jail, we see it over and again. Again, the Apostle Paul is in jail, but he's not confined in his life. He's dancing and praising God. He's writing letters to the church, and that's what we're going to do in a pandemic. The church is going to rise up and be a living letter to a world that's in dark, and they're going to praise the Lord in the marketplace. They're going to share the word in the marketplace. I'm here to tell you there's going to be a revival, and that's in the book of Joel, the second chapter. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not Pentecostals, not Baptists, not Catholic. Everybody's going to be looking for help. Everybody's going to be going through a pandemic. And they're going to be saying, where can I go? I found an altar. That's what I found. How did you get your miracle? You don't mind dancing in front of everybody, do you? He's got a lot of pride, but it's not that much. God healed him of cancer. God delivered him from more things than you can imagine. God delivered him from severities of life. God has put in his future a plan and a power. I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord of hosts. They are thoughts of peace, not evil, but a good hope of a final outcome. Now I'm going to say it. It's going to sound harsh. But I have a hard time believing that any woman that has any kind of true purity would want to dress like a prostitute and like the people that are all over the world. That marriage don't mean anything to them. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is powerful. Marriage is glorious when you understand the role. Our problem is too many of us preachers have not presented the role as it should be. That's why I'm still seeking the face of the Lord, because I'm not willing that any should perish, because that spirit is inside of me. He was not willing. He would do anything. Jesus wants to host your party now. We're going to close. What time is it? Lot what? 11:33? Can y'all give me 3 more minutes? Or more? Okay, let's read this real quick. And the third day, there was a marriage. How many of you do understand we're living in the second dispensational day? We're right at the edge of the third dispensational day. That is huge. This is the third day. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples were called to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now put in everyday terminology, Jerusalem is the mother of us all. That's why Acts, the second chapter, is such a privileged and powerful event. Mary, the mother, the virgin mother that the world celebrates and is trying to get eradicated, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, a virgin, birthed a baby without having an earthly father. That is huge. So when he says that the mother is the church truly is a body, and that body is birthing new babies. So they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, somebody say, she saw the miracles he had done. And she that birthed him said, do you not see that today? The world's out of wine. There's limited joy and peace. Why is it a drag to get to the house of God? Look at a modern America. 360 religious systems. And we can't find a president that's full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say revival. Somebody say revival. Somebody say, Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In wrath, make known mercy one more time. And that's what's going to spawn the second chapter of the book of Joel. In wrath, make known mercy. The wrath has turned loose, but revival is coming. To the hungry, to the desperate, those who don't care that they make fun of you for being a quarterback that misses a few throws. They celebrate quarterbacks that don't have 100% average. And we listen to the devil tell us to quit praying, quit going to church because we mess up one time a week. He said, all I'm asking you to do is confess that you messed up, and I will heal that moment, and you can put that in your past, and you can walk into your future. But you can't carry a conscious sin and let it live and expect the victory that overcomes the world. But if you'll confess it and leave it right there, bury it, and walk on, you are just the same as you'd never sinned. Fill the water pots with water. That whole show is about humans who run out. Somebody say obedience. No, I mean like you really mean it. There's a scripture that says something like this. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice dollars, but that don't rival obedience. You can sacrifice time, but that don't rival obedience. They that be obedient shall eat the good of the land. But without a positive faith in him, you can't be obedient. You'll obey your flesh every time.
You'll obey the people that's got money. You'll obey the people that's got fame. You'll follow them more than you'll follow him. I'm here to tell you that obedience is better than sacrifice, because obedience puts you in his steps, his way, his truth, his light, and all of a sudden you're living in light, you're living in victory, you're living in a positive future, and you've got glory that you are deserving of. How close is it? Let me just tell you this in your studies. Go back and look in the Old Testament. God put a picture in the Old Testament of every severity that would come in the New and challenge and tempt, because he would not be a different God of the Old Testament and a different God of the New. And so you see in the book of Amos, in the book of Joel, you see it all through that Bible. But one of the ones that I want to highlight today is the book of Jonah. He represents a whole nation. And he was a disobedient man. And God says to the church of the 21st century, if you go to your brother and remind him of what he needs, you've done good. But if he won't do right then, cast him out. What did they do with Jonah? A prophet that wanted to do the will of God but acted like he was doing the will of God but was not doing the will of God. And the people on the ship threw him over. But God always has a plan. There's a fish somewhere. There's a little something in the air somewhere. It's not to destroy Jonah. It's to restore Jonah. It is to bring him back to front and center. That's huge. You can't buy that, not even at Target. Let's stand. Humans are given opportunity of God and his likeness. Time will come that you might rethink this morning. Why did I not pay attention to my life when Pastor got the scales out? When Pastor turned the light on and I saw where I was and I tried to act like I wasn't really there? You know where you are, and you ought not to be ashamed of being you. I want you to catch that. Don't you be ashamed. That means incomplete or lacking. Just take a step over and be covered by the blood and be empowered by the Spirit. Repentance is nothing but change. I once was that. But on Sunday, the lights came on and I made a confession. I changed. I walked out of all the other, and I walked into his marvelous light. And there he will lead and guide you to further revelations and powers. All over the building, mothers and dads, men and women are praying. God, have your way in this meeting. Don't let this service go by. Just go through it. And for those of you that might like to repent where you are, do it now. And those of you that might like to come to the front and have a brother or a sister pray with you, because where two or three are gathered together in my name with faith believing, it shall be done of my Father. It's a bigger deal than just having two or three people pray with you. It's multiplying your faith. Sing it, would you? Thank you for being here. Please feel free to leave at any point you want to leave. but please feel free to stay.
Jesus Christ,
I've tried to turn every light on I could. This Christmas season, we're going to keep the bright lights on because it's His month to appear in our world. Oh, sing it, singers.
What a wonderful day it is.
When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. A wonderful moment for the travailers to weep and cry before the porch. God, for the sake of our world, sing it, sing it. Praise. Worship creates the atmosphere for future, for glory. Don't you doubt it. It's going to happen. Somebody, somewhere is going to pick the cross back up and say, this is my cross. And I bear it with dignity.